close our eyes and worship the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Are you in love with him? After all these years, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. What a Savior. What a Savior. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment. Want to just praise the Lord or thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Lord, give us a filling, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Ilmarabashila Lalamando. Ora mo umbilamando. Itabo shira danda. Thank you, Jesus.
He would go the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we need you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Jesus, in your name. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Anoint
the preacher today,
Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for this family to come in, Lord. Each and every one of them, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Since I started. For the kingdom, my life be controlled. Since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter. Longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he supplies. He is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets bright. He grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. Sweeter he grows. Praise the Lord. While everyone's standing, praise God, I'm going to pray. If you have a need this morning, I want you to lift your hand up. Presence of the Lord's already here. We're not waiting on it. It's here. If you have a need, you lift your hand. You believe God this morning. I'm going to pray for Eileen, John. You believe God will meet your need. The longer I serve him, I've only one regret. One regret that I didn't serve the Lord sooner. One regret. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we can come by a new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence. We can come into the holiest of holies this morning, where the Shekinah glory is, for iron's rod footed. We can come right the whole way into your presence because of Calvary, Lord Jesus. Because your veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and the way was made through your flesh when you became us, that we could become you. Lord, this morning we're coming to worship you. We're coming to praise you. We're coming to magnify your name. We're coming to say, the longer we serve you, the sweeter you grow, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts because you first loved us. Wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, and fill us, everyone, afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, you see the hands raised in this house. You know every need. Father, I'm asking in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus, that you'll meet every single need for everyone in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for Eileen Spicedo this morning, Lord, I curse this cancer in her body, every ailment, every disease, in the name of Jesus Christ, and pray for your mighty touch upon her. Lord, that the angel of the covenant will be near right now. Touch her, Lord. Heal her and deliver her in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless John this morning as he opens your word of this evening. Bless him and anoint him and use him, and bless Frank and all the fellowship for Brother Gary today. Later, Lord, that you bless him. Lord, that you watch over him as he go up and come back. Bless him and save souls, we pray. Lord, I'm asking you for every son, for every daughter, every brother, every sister, every aunt, every uncle represented with this house, that you'll save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Shake hands with whoever's beside you. Say, God's done it. And he's done whatever you need done. So you need to testify it. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. God is good. As Samuel Yaldi used to say every time. Let's read Isaiah 9 verse 6. We're going to stand. We saw on last week that they stood for the reading of the word. We used to always do it. We need to start doing it again. Amen. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this morning. Praise God. We'll be back tonight. Pray for Brother Gary tonight as he's preaching up the country. And Brother John's preaching over in England for Brother Frank. And we'll be back tonight. There mightn't be many of us, but come along. Bring someone if you can, and we're going to continue on with the Word of God. I was so encouraged last week that we have a great work, and we're on the wall, and we're building. And God gave me that scripture in the Elam many years ago, over 30 years ago. I never knew anything about it, what it was for. I used to always wonder. But last week, I believe God showed me. He said, that's a long time. Well, that's how it is. God could give you a scripture and you might know it for 30 years. He knows it all along. But God's absolutely sovereign. There's so much we could say about this wonderful book of Isaiah this morning. A book that has 66 chapters. And it has been called by many the wonderful men and wonderful women of God, the Gospel of Isaiah. Because in all parts of the Bible, the theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have said that Isaiah is a miniature Bible, the book of Isaiah. 66 chapters. So the Bible has 66 books. It was written 700 years before the birth of Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem. And this book prophesies so much about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text has to do with this incarnation of the Lord, with his coming into the world, been born of a virgin, the incarnation of the Son of God. Now Jesus, we know, was born in a manger. He died on a cross, and he laid his head. You know, there's no room for him. There's no fancy buildings for him. Some people say it was on a wall. Some say it was in a stable. And he laid him down in straw or hay. Mary made a little place for him. And that's where he came. Born. Little Jehovah. Laid in a manger. And we know during his 33 years that this verse speaks of him. But it was God in Christ condescending, coming down to man. Wanting to be with man, wanting the fellowship of man. And I want for a brief time this morning to look at the infinite Christ. And this is the key verse this morning, and I know I've preached from this verse before, but I'm going to preach from it again. And I'll tell you, it's so full of truth. 3/4 of the Bible we know is prophecy. Most of it has already been fulfilled. And we know that there's little actually left to be fulfilled, mainly the second coming of the Lord, God turning to the Jews. There's very little left to happen. We are ready to go to be with the Lord. We know the Bible also is a book of miracles. It's absolutely inspired by Almighty God. It's his book. It's his word. And Jesus was that word, John 1:1, made flesh. And when you think of the prophetical verse that points toward the coming of Christ and his incarnation on earth. Now I'm going to give you 4 brief scriptures and you can write them down. I won't go into all reading them all this morning. I won't hold you too long this morning. on just some sayings, and I probably won't get this finished. And then I was getting way ahead, and I had to stop myself because it's going down more avenues. The branches kept going, and I had to say, no, Tom, you'll get too many different things. Stick with this. Micah 5 verse 2 tells us he would be born. So this is all prophecy through the Old Testament. Micah 5 verse 2 tells us that he would be born. Isaiah 7:14 tells us how he would be born. Hosea 11 verse 1 tells us how he would flee into Egypt. David, but also speaking of a greater David. Isaiah 7:14 again tells us what his name would be. All about the Lord Jesus Christ and many, many more scriptures. I couldn't do all the scriptures because it would take a long time. I actually would like to do just a whole study on it, but it would take a lot of time and weeks. And I maybe will do it sometime, but praise God, we want to look at this morning. Now we know the incarnation of Christ, Christ daily being confined within the body of a little baby. That must be the greatest mystery of all mysteries. Let me read you from a message called God's Wrapped Gift. William Branham preached it in 1960. It ought to be the real attractive to the people. Little Jehovah, crying like a baby. God made flesh in a package. God, who covers all space and time, was before there was a world or a star or a molecule, wrapped himself in a little package and was led in a manger in a stable where the manures of the cattle are and the sheep and all them sorts of things up over the stable. And this little manger of straw or hay, Jehovah was lying there crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? God's wrapped gift. And here we've come to the time of the year, and I'm honest, you know. I know some people play one thing, but there's something else. But I'm honest about it. I can't wait to Christmas morning. I don't know about any of the rest of yous. And I'll tell you what, if I haven't got something nice, I'll have a queer shire gob on my brother, Laurie. I'm waiting on something real nice on Christmas morning, and I know everybody is. And I tell you, it's great when you get a gift, and you know, when somebody tells you what you're going to get, it's just not the same. Sure it's not. And even if you might suggest to her or him something you might want, but then they might get you it, and that's all right. But that just doesn't do it right. You need the wee surprise gift. Isn't that right? You sisters, listen well now. You need the surprise gift. Wee surprise gift. New brothers for the sisters. The wee surprise gift. A bottle of perfume or something to make you smell good. But it's great to get a surprise gift. A wrapped gift. And you have no idea what it is. And here God sent the greatest gift ever. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. To the least expected place, to the manger. And God sent this gift, and God sent a star, especially, out to the Magi's. And he led them the whole way to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you think of it. Our brother Guy preached a good piece on this some time back. About them killing. They killed the one that was to come. You remember that, brother? They killed the one that was Moses. And right along, and then heard, tried it again with Jesus. And he was ahead of them all the time. But God led his people to that wrapped gift. And we appreciate all the gifts that we're going to get at Christmas. But this is a gift. This is the best gift. This is what it's all about, Christmas, for me and you. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate the family. We appreciate the gifts. But this wrapped gift is God's gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a gift. And we've been singing this morning, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And I want to testify this morning, that's the truth. I've been preaching and serving the Lord with my whole heart since 1989, Brother Laurie. I know it's not as long as you, brother. But since 1980, Laurie's a couple of years more than me. We'll not say how many that couple is, but a couple of years more. But since 1989, I don't know, it's over 30 years. But I only regret I didn't serve the Lord sooner. Now, God moved on me before that. As a young man, I was always conscious of God. I remember as a very young man, been conscious of God, been convicted of sin, and searching after God and seeking after God as a boy at 14, 15, seeking after God, asking the Lord to save me. And God really moved on me in 1989 as a young man. And I've served the Lord ever since, and I've no regrets. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. John 1 verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. A child is born. This speaks of his humanity. A son is given. This speaks of his deity. And I love the words of C.H. Spurgeon, the God-man. He was every bit man, and he was every bit God. He came to save. Not only did he come to save, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I want to read you this. The Christ of Christmas. Mary C. Turk. Five names were given to Jesus Christ long centuries before he came down from heaven above. Isaiah calls him wonderful. How well this prophet knew his person and the works. Love that he on earth did do. He calls him counselor. Oh, this he is indeed. And oh, how blessed we are today when we counsel heed. The mighty God, yes. He alone has conquered death and sin, and faith in his atoning blood will heaven for us win. Everlasting Father, this may seem a little odd, but with the Father, Christ is one, Redeemer and true God. The Prince of Peace, how true this is. The angels knew it too. He brought a heavenly peace when he was born for me and you. May we remember these five names and never once forget the Savior who was us portrayed here among us yet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is among us yet. And this morning as we began to sing, you could sense his presence. You could feel his presence as we sang that song. And the more we sang it, the more we felt and knew the presence of the Lord. For the Holy Spirit's here. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come in my name. And he'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He'll be with you to strengthen you, to comfort you. Hallelujah. And he's here this morning. Now I want to look at these five words briefly here this morning. And the first two is, he's wonderful and counselor. This means he's infinite in wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. That is all-knowing. He knows everything. He's wonderful counselor. He's infinite in wisdom. We could go as a pastor. I could go and counsel with someone. And they could tell me what they want me to hear. But they might keep something secret they don't want me to know. But with the Lord Jesus, he knows everything. And some people could have problems and they're wanting help, but they don't tell you everything the right way it really is. They tell you part of the truth. And they keep back part. And that's fair enough, but the thing is, God knows everything. And you remember, we should know God knows everything. And in the 20th century, God sent a prophet that could know things, that God could show them back into people's lives, what they did, what they're going to do. And God could reveal the very secrets of the heart. For the book of Hebrews says the word of God is a discerner of thoughts and the very intents of the heart. So we're working with one this morning that's infinite. He's all known. Our God this morning, Matthew 13:54. And when he was come into his country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence have this man this wisdom and these mighty works? He's all known God. This is a Savior of infinite wisdom. He knows everything, every heartbeat. He knows every thought, every battle you're going through. He knows every sin. He knows every step you take. He knows your tomorrow. Something we don't know. None of us know it, but he knows it. He knew if we would be alive tomorrow. God knows everything. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Nothing happens amiss. God knows everything. He knows the date and time of our departure from this earth. He's infinite in wisdom. We could question why, but God knows. God knows. And the secret things belong unto the Lord. And God has a reason, perhaps far beyond our knowing, but he knows, and he's a plan, and he's a purpose for everything he does. Matthew 12:42 says this: the queen of the south shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. Now you might never have studied much about Solomon, but Solomon was great. I'll tell you how great Solomon was. Hear me this morning for a moment. Solomon knew 3,500 proverbs. Solomon knew 1,500 psalms. That's a lot of proverbs, 3,500. That's a lot of psalms. I'll guarantee you none of us know that many. I'll guarantee you we wouldn't remember so many at all. We'd need a songbook. But Solomon knew them. 3,500 proverbs, 1,500 psalms. He had sayings of wisdom by the scores. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon's here. I want you to think of that. Then I want you to think of these false ones today that claim they're on a par with Jesus. They're never on a par with the Lord. The Lord is the fountain of all knowing, all knowledge. It's all in him. He gives us a wee spoonful of it, and we appreciate it, but it's all in him, all knowing. Jesus said, greater than Solomon. One is wiser, far more than Solomon ever was. Luke 2:40. And the child grew in fact strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is our Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, being infinite in wisdom, can impart wisdom to his people? And how often do we need wisdom? There's so many things in life we would do that wouldn't be wisdom. We would do things that would not be wisdom. But we need the Lord to give us wisdom so many times. But this Lord, this infinite in wisdom, says, if any man lacks, let him ask for it, and the Lord will give it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. So he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The Lord Jesus, who has infinite wisdom, gives leadership, direction, guidance to lives of those that belong to him. I don't care who it is or where you are. In this life here, you're going to need the guiding hand of the Son of God. You're going to need it. You're going to need his hand. You're going to need the guiding hand of the Son of God. And if you don't have the Son of God to guide you, you're lost. You're lost. Think of that little story. It blesses me so much when I think of it. Brother Branham was married the second time. His first wife passed away. He remarried. He thought he would kill the two birds with one stone, go on a hunting trip and take his wife. Remember now, Billy Paul's a young man, and he stayed with his dad from the first marriage, and he's with them. And William Branham's new wife's looking after Billy like her own son, and he's left him in a little cabin, and a storm arises, a snowstorm in America. And a snowstorm, you can be snowed in a short time in America. A real blizzard, a real storm. And he's a hunter. William Branham's a hunter. Remember, he's part Indian. And you know you can't lose an Indian. And an Indian can sneak up on the white man. You ever see them movies, brother? Josie Wells. I see him smiling at the back. You can see him pulling that big revolver out now. And the old Indian comes up the back of him. Only an Indian could do it. Well, I'll tell you, the Indians, it's true. An Indian can go places where the white man can't go, he knows. And William Branham was telling them, I'm a real good tracker. I could never lost myself. I'm good. But all of a sudden, he knew he was on the death march, the death trail. Where he started, he came back to that spot. He couldn't find his way to a cabin. And he said he took his hat off in the snow, began to pray, began to talk to the Lord. And he said he admitted to God, he says, Lord, I'm a bad guide. I'm lost. I need your help. You're the real guide. You're the real guide. I only thought I was a good guide. And after he had prayed, someone said to him, stick your hand up. And he put his hand up and he hit the line. And he remembered they tacked the line from right down, right up to that cabin. And he followed the line. And he preached after that, the message called the guide. It's a great message, go and listen to it. Message called the guide. And he had to hold on to the guide. And the guide took him back to his wife and son where he could light a fire and save them. And I tell you, our guide came 2,000 years ago. Amen. And he wants to save us, but we need to hold on to him. Amen. We need to hold on to the guide. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, I'm not going the way my mom or dad goes, I'll go my own way, that's good. But your way is a lost way. A lost way. Without Jesus, it's a lost way. It's a no way. It's a hopeless way. Without Jesus, you're godless, you're friendless, you're homeless, and you're Christless. And on your way to hell, you don't know it. But with Jesus, you have a friend, stick it closer than a brother, and you've got God, for God's in him. And you've got a home, not just here, but in heaven above. And you have somebody that loves you more than your mom or dad ever could. And he's called Jesus. Here's the other thing. He's the mighty God. Psalm 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Infinite in power. For it says he is the mighty God. Think of a little boy in a manger. To all those who observed and instructed minds, he was just another baby. Excuse me, just another baby to many. But he was more than just another baby. The mother that night sat and watched over baby Jesus. But think, he's mighty God. I don't even know if she could fully comprehend it. And she sat and nourished and nursed him. There was a mighty God, little Jehovah, in the manger. She's nourishing him. She's feeding him. There he is, the mighty God. What about him? This is the one that made the heavens. This is the one by whom all things exist. This is the beginning and creation of God that made all things. That knows all things, the mighty God. Here he is. Lord himself, what a stoop he took. What a stoop he took. To step down and lower himself a little lower than the angels, and took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, until this little babe wrapped in the manger. What a stoop he took. The birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. Wasn't the beginning. He just changed the dress, didn't he? Wasn't the beginning. After 33 years, it just changed address. 33 years and not address here on earth. But it changed address because the Bible's clear. He was from the beginning. He was before that. He became incarnate in Christ. He changed his address for 33 and a half years to save us. 33 and a half years to save us. 3.5 years of ministry. Look what he done. John 1 and 3, all things are made by him. Without him, wasn't it anything made that's made? There he is, a little baby in the manger. The mighty God means he's infinite in power. Romans 1 and 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. His every word's his power. No word of God's void of power. Every word of God's got power. Do you believe that? The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it and to bring it to pass. You think of that this morning when you call on the name of the Lord, you could see him. He answers you and you could see him. When Jesus talked to the sick or the deceased, they were made whole. The demons obeyed his command. The dead, hearing his voice, were raised. Lazarus, come forth. Call them by his name. His very presence, his power. Power in his presence. Power in us as individuals. Power in his true church. You remember when I preached on the man that was let down through the roof, the cripple. What's the key to that scriptures? The key is this: the power of the Lord was present to him. That's your key. Power. Where Jesus is, there's power. Brother, if his presence comes in here this morning, there's a power. Yes, there's power in this room. When we sang that we chorus a while ago, there was power. Power. Because of the pastor, no. Because of you, no. But because of him, there's power. Because of his presence, there's power. With his presence, it exudes power. It accelerates power. There's power with him like no other power. You can go to the Old Testament and get a glimpse of his power in Samson when he took the gates off that weighed tons of weight and run them over the hill like they were nothing. That's the power of God, not the power of Samson. You can get a glimpse of his power when you look at David when he slew a lion, slew a bear, and he dropped a giant 9'6" with one wee stone. Took his big heavy sword and chopped his head off. That's not the power of David. That's the power of God. You can see his power when you look at Daniel in the den of lions. And the lions have been on a fast, as a brother Gary said once. Starving. But they weren't allowed to touch Daniel. They were powerless against him because the power of God was on him. Wasn't Daniel's power, it was God's power. Then when he came out and the enemies were thrown in, the lions crushed their bones, starving the word, and they ate them up. God's power. So many times you can see the power of God. Let's look at God's power, bigger scale. A man called Moses steps down to the Red Sea with a stick in his hand. Says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And the sea rolled back, stood up as a wall on every side. Didn't just roll back, it rolled back and stood up straight walls on every side. And the ground dried up, and they walked over on dry ground. That's the power of God. It was God's power when he went down to Pharaoh with a staff in his hand. And every time, whatever Moses asked for, God done it. Fleas that come all over the land. Frogs that come into the very chambers. The water turning to blood. All by the power of God displayed through a servant Moses. What about the power of God in Elijah? Elijah could take a bit of a clothes off. Bit of an iron mantle off. Hit the waters, Tim. Part. And they parted. And then God's power continued. So we see this power's continued. Continued. Yes, Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Elias took the mantle that Elijah had. And he went back over. And he smote the waters and they parted again. Parted again. What God did one time, he can do again. God's power. His very presence is power. Power in us. Power in his true church. Jesus says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ephesians 19:20. And that is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Then he's the mighty God. The mighty God, infinite in power, isn't he? And he's the He's the everlasting Father, and I'm looking at the watch because I have to close soon. I might not get this finished, but that's not important. I'm not one of them preachers that has to follow every note. Should have taken 2 hours. I just go as the Lord leads me, brother. Finish to finish, if not, not make any difference to me. I like to feel the presence of the Lord. He's the everlasting Father. Our text today says he's everlasting Father. It means he's infinite in love. Now, when I got to this and I thought about this, I had this message was all prepared and I went back in and I thought about it and then I got into the message of love and how to stop. Because God is love. Not just love by name. He exudes love. He is love. He is love itself. The Bible tells us God is love. And he's our Father. And he loves us. Our Father loves us. I want you to hear me this morning. God is your Father. When you're saved, your Father is God. And he loves you. Loves you this morning. That's why the baby came wrapped in the gift. Because God loves you. Father is a term of relationship. And there's only one way that anyone can come into the family. That's to be born again. You can't join it. You're born into it. You can only know him as your Father when you come through the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus. You had to be saved. You have to be born again. Matthew 11, 27 and 28. When all things are delivered unto me and my Father, no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he whom ever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's an everlasting Father, infinite in love. Here, what else? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and I'm closing after this. I'm almost finished, Prince of Peace. What's it mean? He's infinite in redemption. Infinite in redemption. When he was born that night, look what the angel said in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace. Goodwill to all men. I tell you, we'll appreciate our gifts this Christmas when we get them, whatever they are. We'll appreciate them. Might be a new pair of boots for somebody. New pair of trousers. I don't know what it'll be. Might be a toy for the younger ones. I don't know, it could be anything. Or if you're well off, might be a new car. New car. Well, there's a queer lot of faces smiling now. Praise God. Maybe I'll get a new car. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. A fellow said to me one time, he says, Tom, have you got faith enough for a new car? And I says, I have. But he never bought that. But I still have faith enough for it. God can give you a brand new car. But I'll tell you, the Lord gave us something more than a new car. He gave us his most prized possession. Amen. The jewel of all heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? I want you to think. Will you do this for me? Not just for me, it's for the Lord, but I'm saying it. And I want to do it in our home. Ever before you eat the beef or the steak, whatever you're having, not everybody likes turkey. Some people like the beef. I like a good turkey. Boys, it's hard to beat. A bit of ham as well. Great glory, isn't it, brother? But I tell you, before you bite a bit of it, will you pause for a moment when you get your dinner and thank God for the greatest gift? Greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand our feet this morning. God bless you. Amen. We'll be back tonight at 6. The Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. Amen. And then there's no service on the Thursday nights, the next few Thursday nights. One of them's Christmas, one of them's New Year, but we'll be here. All the Sunday meetings, the Lord willing, will be as normal. We'll be back tonight at 6. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift. What a Savior. Lord, we thank you for that gift. A free gift. till every one of us. Lord, we didn't have to go out to buy it, labor to get it. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Lord, we receive your gifts. We thank you for it. We want you to know, Lord, that we appreciate it. We reverence it. We worship it. Help us to love you, serve you with all of our hearts. Bless the song leader. Bless all the musicians. Pray as our brother goes this evening, you'll bless him and be upon him. Lord, for us that would come again here tonight, will you help us, bless us, speak to us again from your word. Now part us with your blessing that maketh rich and out of no sorrows, till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And Lord, for those maybe not so fortunate over this time of the year, Father, will you help them? Will you bless them? Pray again for Israel that your hand will be in Israel. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. God bless each one.
God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Maybe we'll sing that hymn before we leave. Who is he in yonder stall? Hopefully Matthew can get all the verses this time. But a few left out. But I'll try and sing it before we go. I'll not see you again after now. So I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And I just showed a really blessed this morning's message. Just to remember, as we often hear the saying, remember the reason for the season. And so many things going on this time of year, you know, and a lot of it's just selfishness. It's all about self-indulgence. But, you know, it's wonderful that God gave us a gift. Praise God. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. It's God's Son. There's nothing surpasses it. There's nothing compares to it. It's wonderful. And just as our pastor was saying there about, you know, before you do anything at Christmas, it's good to give God thanks for his gift. I was listening to Brother Brown this morning, and he was saying at the end of his message that they had given a gift to the Salvation Army, and there was a woman from the Salvation Army had rung him up to thank him, and he was talking to her, and he was saying, you know, about this time of year, and he says, isn't it funny, you know, how that at everybody else's birthday, the birthday boy or the birthday girl is the main attraction. We had a little birthday party for Jonah. He was 10 last night, yesterday, and people came to bring him gifts, but whenever we celebrate the birth of Jesus, most of the time he's not welcome. Not right? Most of the time there's never no room for him. There's room for everything else. There's room for eating, room for drinking, self-indulgence, presents for him, presents for her. But for Jesus, just as it was when he was born, the Bible says there was no room for him in the inn. So as believers, and even if you're not a confessing Christian, if you're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, make room for Jesus.
Amen.
Make room for Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Let us sing this here as we go and say, let's see us again. God bless for this evening, and just keep me in your prayers, and the children as well that will be playing as well. All right, Elijah, can you give us a new start?
Who is he? Thank you.
And
Bless every head bowed, every home that is represented. Touch those that are sick. My God, you are still a healer. You have never stopped healing people. Yes, you spoke the word, and the word went and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. We pray for our sister that is being saved. Oh God, will you touch her with your anointing and break the power of the devil? Destroy this cancer.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, and restore her back. Let her come back again. Be with us in worship you in the beating of your holiness. So, Father, send us with your blessing, yes, which makes rich,
yes,
and I have no soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're not going to sing, going off to Children of Thel, play with Little Town of Bethlehem as we go out this morning. The Lord bless and safe travels. God bless you. Well, Little Town of Bethlehem. Lady, you can start us off, maybe.
Little Town of Bethlehem.